Okay, so what we try to do every year is we try to discuss a theme that we can attach and connect to not just the idea of it, but try to really connect it to the Seder so we can, there can be an ongoing idea that we're trying to really utilize the Seder to inculcate in ourselves and to put into ourselves an idea that we can give to our children. So a lot of times people go through and they don't know exactly how to utilize the Seder and utilize the time, and the Haggadah is full of different ideas and things that you could get derailed and confused. And so this, we try to every year give an idea that maybe you could use, and it's a theme and it's an idea and it's very powerful tools. So we're gonna do that again. It could be similar to what we discussed last year, but a lot more ideas, and I don't remember if it was or it wasn't what we discussed last year. But one thing is for sure, that these days, and over the last 12 months, if you think about it, we've seen in the world how the Jewish people, everything that goes on for us, is quite miraculous. It's quite above nature. We don't, what goes on for the Jewish people is very clear, that we don't live our lives the same way as everybody else. There's some sort of lamala min ateva, above nature, that exists for the Jewish people. And the concepts that I'm going to be saying are from the Haggadah of Rabbi Yitzchak Isaac Chaver. He lived in the 1800s. He was a student of the Vilna Gaon. And there's a lot of deep concepts and a lot of very practical ideas as well. So the idea basically is, in a few sentences, and then we'll show where it comes through and through and throughout the whole Chag and throughout the Haggadah as well. Hashem has two ways He runs the world. There's two ways Hashem runs the world. You could call it, throughout the Haggadah, this term is called Yad Chazaka and Zroa Netuya. In the beginning of Parshas Va'era, there's something called Shakai and Yud Kevav. There's different things, different ways Hashem runs the world. One way Hashem runs the world is, if you look around, it's nature, it's Teva. In the farm, that's called the Mazalot. Oh, you had a good mazel. He has a good luck. It's mazel. It's a certain power that exists within the natural hierarchy of things. And that's how Hashem runs the world in one way. There's a natural power. What happens in the natural world? A strong person beats a weak one. Many beat the few. Right? In the natural world, you work hard, you make money. You don't work hard, you don't make money. There's a lot about the hierarchy of the way the world was created. That's called the world of the mazel. You have a good mazel, you don't have a good mazel. It's kind of like a real thing. It's the hierarchy of Hashem giving out things in the world, and there's a natural order to things. And Hashem creates that, and He runs the world with nature. But according to Yitzchak Isaac Chaver, something very, very special happened at Yetziat Mitzrayim when the Jewish people were born. He calls it like the birthing process of the Jewish people. When the Jewish people were born, Hashem, besides making us into a nation, Hashem established that there's going to be another way He's going to run the world. And that other way He runs the world is not dependent on the hierarchy and the natural hierarchy and what you think happens and what you think works and all the rules that existed till then. There's something else. He's going to look at the Jewish people and what you need and what you deserve and how I could help you. And you, the Jewish people are going to be with me. And they're not going to be dependent on the natural way that things run. And that is Ein Mazal Yisrael, Chazal say. Ein Mazal Yisrael. As a matter of fact, he says, in the world of the Mazal, in the world of the natural world, the Jewish people wouldn't even exist in the first place. Because Avram Avinu could not have a child. Right? Avram Avinu couldn't have a child. So Avram Avinu couldn't have a child, so we wouldn't even exist in the natural world. How did Hashem make Avram have a child? He took him outside, above the mazel, above the stars. In other words, in order for there to be a Jewish people, in order for it to be an Avram Avinu, he had to make that there could be something called Lamala Min HaTeva. And then when did He reveal that to the world? At Yetzias Mitzrayim. That's when we were born. And that's when Hashem said, you know what? You're going to be with me. And this is why everything that happens with us from the time of Yetzias Mitzrayim and on happens Lamala Min HaTeva. It's all based on our relationship with Hashem. So let me give you an example. This is an unbelievable Gemara. A very shver Gemara, very hard Gemara. The Gemara says like this. There was a story that, I don't remember who it was now. It was Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah maybe, or Rabbi Akiva. One of the Tanoim was walking. Actually, he was riding on a horse, it says. And he saw a young girl, which seemed to be very poor and very hungry. And she was picking out seeds from the garbage, from the manure of the animals. She was picking out undigested seeds that she could still take, wash off, and eat. So they say, she says, he asks the girl, who are you? Who are you? You're so poor. She says, I'm the daughter of Nakdimon ben Gurion. Nakdimon ben Gurion had enough money in the time of the Churban Beis HaMikdash. He had enough money to support the entire city of Jerusalem for 20 years. So Rabbi Kiva, Rabbi the Tana says to this girl, "Call Mama and shall base Avich Heichan Azal. All the money of your father's house, where'd it go?" So she said, "He didn't do enough charity." That was the answer. Okay, and the Gemara says, "Well, he did do charity." Fine, the Gemara asks that, but then I think it was Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah responds to the girl the following response, which is an unbelievable response. He says, Ashreichem Yisrael, praiseworthy are you, Jewish people. How praiseworthy are you? When you do what Hashem wants, you're the highest nation in the world. But when you don't do what Hashem wants, you're lower than every nation in the world. But not just lower, you're lower than even their animals. Now, I understand you want to say praiseworthy Yisrael when you do the Ratzon Yishol Makom, you're on top of everybody. But what's the second half? Ashreichem Yisrael, because now when you get poor and you don't give tzedakah, you have to go and take food out of the lowest of the low? What's he saying? You hear that, Adam? Clear question? So the mashal I was thinking was, it's like, let's say you have somebody that he's an employee, he works at the post office, whatever, he makes his 20 bucks an hour. So he comes home with his paycheck, he pays his bills, and that's it. You know. He's never making more, but he's never making less. Okay, that's a nice life, but there's no potential to go anywhere.
That's the rest of the umot.
What? Yeah. That's just what life is. You're locked in, you have what you have, but you're not going to get less. But you're also not going to get more. You can't go anywhere. Okay? What if you're a business owner, and you're investing, and you're growing, and you come one day to the guy, and you're on top of the world. What's going on? I just made some sales. I just got some new clients. He's busy. He's running. He's this. I just bought a new building. Okay, it's great. Next month you come in. Warehouse is empty. Nothing going on. Rent roll is down. Nothing doing. So what happened? Well, this month is not working, right? Or the last 6 years is not working. So the more potential you have to grow, but the more risk you have that you're going to end up being low, right? So everyone else in the world, all the other umas in the olam, they will never grow past a certain amount. Why? Because they're in the hierarchy of the way things work. You are where you are, but you're also never going to go down to a certain point. What Rabbi Akiva saw, is that the way she lost that money was lamala min hateva. It was above, it was not a natural way. There's no way that someone that wealthy could reach that level of poverty. Must be that Hashem was watching over you. So imagine.
Hashem took it away.
I understand, but that means Hashem's with you. Hashem cares. So that means, how fortunate are you that your lot in life is not to just be like everybody else, tachas the mazel, whatever your lot is in life, whatever your hierarchy, you signed up for the post office and you got it. No, you're with me. So when you're doing the right thing, I'm taking care of you. You can grow. You can come all the way up with me, but that comes with a risk. If you're not doing it right,
you go very down.
You're gonna go down. The Jewish people at the good times were the best of everybody, but when we suffer like nobody else. But we've all seen, right?
Swings in both ways and very
right.
Yeah.
So when we see the suffering, we see that's also Hashkacha Pratis. That's also Ashracha Yisrael, because we're with Hashem. So this whole idea, Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim. He showed us, you're going to be with me from now on. And when you're with me, then don't worry about everything you see going on in the world. Don't worry about what we call, quote-unquote, nature. Don't worry what we see as called Teva. Because you're with me in Lamala Mina Teva. You're with me. And if you're with me, then we're not going to be limited to nature. We're not going to be limited to Teva. Okay? Just simply, for example, the very first thing is that we see this in the Korban Pesach itself. The Korban Pesach, we shecht a sheep. Why do we shecht a sheep? So the answer is because the astronomical sign for Nisan, astrological sign for Nisan is a tle, is a sheep in the sky. The mazel of Nisan is tle, is a sheep. And the Mitzrayim, the Egyptians, were related to that sign. That means at the time of Nisan, they were the strongest. That means that there was actually, in some sort of koach, this was a good time for them. And at that time, Hashem commands us and says, don't worry about what they're good at. You could shecht the tleh, you could go and attack their strength because you're with me and you're above the mazel. And that's the idea that happened over here. It says, we say in the Halal, Betzeit Yisrael mi Mitzrayim, when we left Mitzrayim, Beit Yaakov Memlois, what happened? All of a sudden, Hayam Ra'a Vayanos, the Yam Suf, the Red Sea split. It sounds like it all happened immediately. Like, what are we saying exactly? So the Malbim says, the only reason the Yam Suf was able to split is because Betzeit Yisrael mi Mitzrayim, because I took you out of Mitzrayim. I took you out and I made you my people that now you can merit miracles. You can merit miracles and you can merit a certain way that Hashem deals with us above nature. This is a very powerful idea in terms of that. It's not just that our relationship with Hashem started now in Mitzrayim, but it's our relationship with Hashem that Hashem created a system, a new system of running the world for us. He runs a system in nature a certain way for everyone else, and then he runs this world in a different system for us. I've spoken many times to certain Rabbanim. I mean, you know, there's an ability for great tzaddikim to give advice, which is l'malam min hatev. They tell you things and they just say, do it this way and it's going to work. Because when you're connected with Hashem, we live differently. We're not mishubad. We're not limited by whatever the limitations of the natural hierarchy of things are. And that whole concept we see throughout the Haggadah. So first of all, right away, the first paragraph, we say, Avadim ayinu leparo b'mitzrayim. We were slaves to Paro. But Yotzeinu Hashem Elokeinu Misham, and Hashem took us out. And if Hashem hadn't taken us out, we would still be there. So Yitzchak Isaac Chavar says, very simple. Why would we still be there? Because they're much stronger than us, and they're still stronger than us. Nothing changed. The only way we got out, the only way that this could happen, is because Hashem says, they're stronger than you. But it doesn't matter, because I already decided that you are going to be able to merit miracle. You're going to come with me, and we're on a different system. When you're in a different system, it doesn't matter who's stronger and who's not stronger. And therefore, in that system, Hashem says, it doesn't make a difference. Now, I want to add something. It says in this paragraph, very famously, it says, Afilu kulanu chacham. This is in the beginning of the Haggadah, so everyone knows it. You know, this paragraph, everyone's still awake, right? Afilu kulanu chachamim, kulanu nevonim, kulanu yodim et haTorah. Even if we all know it, mitzvah aleinu lesaper. It's a mitzvah for us to say over the story, right? So, question is, why? If we all know it already, why do we have to say it over? So based on Rabbi Yitzchak Isaac Chavar, he says like this. Give him a mashal, right? We talk about a father, right? It's a yard site today. So a person who knows who their father is, you ask them, that's your dad, right? Yeah, that's my father, yeah. You know it. How do you know it? You know it because it's in your blood. You know it because you know it. You're not going to explain to someone how you know it. You know it because when you have something from your father, you know it's your father. If someone doesn't know their father, and they only know it from, they did some genetic testing and they figured it out, yeah, it matches up, oh, this is your dad. So he knows it, right? He proved it. Who knows it more? The guy that has proof or the guy that doesn't need the proof?
The one that doesn't need the proof.
The one that doesn't need the proof has a better knowledge than the guy that has the proof. Mm-hmm. Because it's an emotional knowledge. It's not just an intellectual knowledge. You know what I'm saying?
It's innate within him.
Right.
One has intellectual knowledge, one has emotional knowledge.
The emotional knowledge is a lot more powerful.
Stronger?
It's much more powerful. If a person sees that a child is drowning, for their own child, they're not going to make a cheshbon. They're going to go and save the child.
Regardless.
Right. If someone tells you, well, look, according to this, that could be... It goes on emotional, the emotional connection. So when we live in the world is a confusing place, right? Because everything we're saying right now is that for us, how are we going, how does Hashem run the world for us? Our tefillot. You ask for something, we can get it. You can connect to Hashem and there's a chuyot that we can have. Hashem wants us to be matzliach. We're with Hashem. He treats us differently. Whatever it is, it's not always going to be exactly what you want. I'm not saying that. But I am saying that it's not the regular way that he treats everyone else. But the world's confusing because it doesn't look that like it doesn't appear that way. It appears that, you know, there's a certain hierarchy and that works, right? So even if we know it intellectually, but there's so much stacked up against you that you could forget to live your life that way. How are you going to end up living? How can you live your life that way with this knowledge? Is it has to become an emotional knowledge. How does it become an emotional knowledge? You have to tell it over to your child. And that's what it's saying. Even if you know it already, everyone knows. Theoretically speaking, everyone knows we're special. Jewish people are special. If we wouldn't be special, we wouldn't be here today. Right? We've discussed this before. Mm-hmm. If we wouldn't be having this special relationship with Hashem, that Hashem is watching over us, and Hashem doesn't treat us like everybody else, we wouldn't be here today discussing this. There's no... So... How are we here? We all know Hashem treats us differently. But it's not enough to know it. And that's what it's saying. You have to have it as a tradition. You have to feel it. And the way you feel something is when you hear it from the previous generation. When you hear it from the previous generation, you got it into your blood, and you're able to give it to the next generation. That's where you feel it in your blood. Then you could really live that way. And that's why the very first paragraph in the Haggadah, what it tells us, there's a special thing that's happening tonight. We're being reminded of the special way that Hashem treats us. Hashem doesn't treat us like everybody else. But you have to make sure that that becomes, your children live that way. They understand it from you. It's not just not enough that they know it. It's a great part. That's a great part about this.
Mm-hmm.
This thing has to be an emotional connection. You have to really feel it. And there's ways to feel it.
Yiddish is basically that.
Right, that's what I'm saying.
You can know intellectually.
It's not enough to know. You gotta take it from here to here.
What's the purpose of it being reminded once a year throughout the Seder when we're reminded of it basically every single day when you pray?
Great question.
That's a good example as well.
Great question. I never remember Melchayim. So
every year we talk about this question.
This question, yeah. And the answer to that is that I heard from Rabbi Tzisiyahu Salomon, who's the Lakewood Mashgiach, of Lakewood Yeshiva, Zichron al-Vacha. So the way he basically said it was that the rest of the year, what you remember is as good as your Seder was. That means that you're really putting it in as your on Pesach, and then the rest of the year is like reminding and falling back to that. But you have to analyze it once a year. You have to get into it, and you have to feel it. And then you have that daily reminder. But you can't rely on that only. Because you need to have that once a year where you're reinforcing it. And he said a similar thing on Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah, we talk about Hashem as the king of the world. But we say that every day in Shema. Kabbalat ol malchut shemayim. So what's the same thing? You have to remind yourself once a year. And then you can go through the constant reminder. So That's the idea. So the concept that we're working on with these, we've talked about different things in the past in different years, but this year the point that I'm bringing out is the special way that Hashem runs the world just for us. And I feel like we've seen it so many times over and over again with these, like I was reading, someone was saying, now in the Daf Yomi it talks about, now in the Daf Yomi it talks about the miracle that happened with the Chizkiyahu HaMelech when the army of Sancheiriv basically just died overnight. And there was a Rav in Israel who was speaking, and he basically said that if we were living in times of Nevi'im today, there could be a Sefer Tanakh about the miracles that we see today also. The missiles coming from Iran and nothing happening. And the different things that went on over and over again, we also experienced a tremendous amount of Siyata Dishmaya. Right? So that's important to look at those things and say, you know, it's happening today too. And Hashem is still watching over us. But it's not just those big things. It's the small things also. And a lot of times, we could look around and say, you know, is it really, you know, to really be matzliach, a guy will own a store. And nowadays, it's like when my father was offered to start his job in the government in Argentina as the, So he spoke with the president, and the president of the country, so he says to him, I don't work on Shabbos. So when you don't work on Shabbos, I'm not available on Shabbos. So he said, you don't have to come into the office, but you know, emails, phones. This, he said, I'm not available on Shabbos. My phone's off. My email's off. I'm not available. So he says, you serious? If I call, you're not going to pick up? No, I'm not going to pick up. I only work 6 days a week.
Can I just intervene? His father. Can I explain? His father was the equivalent to the head of the Federal Reserve in Argentina, like Jerome Powell.
The president
of Central Bank.
Yeah, the president of Central Bank, yeah.
Central Bank, sorry, right. So he's telling now the president of the country,
yeah,
that he's not working on a job.
Right, so he's telling the president of the country, so he says, I only work 6 days a week. So he says, only 6 days a week? He said, only 6 days a week. He says, all right, it's not that bad. It's 6 days more than everyone else around here. sometimes you think to yourself, that like, it, you know, the nisayon of not working on Shabbos today is a little less than it used to be. But you own the store. How am I going to make things work if I don't open on Shabbos? Right? And it could be that you know, you have a simple store and it's a busy time and I need to open on Shabbos. And even today, there's a lot of, it's not like in the old days that like you would starve if you didn't have it, but a lot of businesses, they have this challenge because I own a store in a mall and it's a busy day that day, and if I'm going to close, I'm going to miss out opportunities, and then you have smaller nisyonot. So how's it possible? How's it possible to overcome these things? The only way it's possible is if you understand what we're talking about tonight. It's true. You look around and you try to read someone else's books. You read the books, and it'll show in the books that they make their profit on Saturday and they make their profit on the weekends, and I'm not going to be able to make my business work. But that's for everyone else. Everyone else's books runs one way. But there's our QuickBooks. You know Michael Singer, my Singer's father. Mm-hmm. So he's an accountant. He used to run the books for the Kollel. And things didn't always look like they were going to add up at some point. And then he's like, I gave up. You just, I don't know, you have to get a different degree to run the books for a Kollel, you know, for a Jewish organization. But for some people, you know, it's true. Everyone else's books run that way. But someone that's L'shem Shemayim, someone that's working with Bitachon, someone that says, look, this is my job, and I'm going to do it the way Hashem wants me to do it, and you live in a different way, then the books add up differently. And you don't have to be worried about that challenge. But that's only possible if you know Hashem runs the world one way for everyone else, and He runs the world differently for us. We're not subject to that whole entire hierarchy of how the numbers add up. Numbers add up differently for us. Things work. And things work when you come and you have bitachon, and you realize, and it may not work the day you tried it. I'm not, you know, but Hashem takes care of us. and you have that bitachon, and you have that way of looking at life, then everything is different. And this entire concept, even though it started on Pesach, just as an interesting point, a fascinating, unbelievable point, the way Rabbi Yitzchak Isaac Chavah writes is, he says, really Hashem created the world immediately with these two systems. There was Shisha Yimei Bereshis, the 6 days of creation. The 6 days of creation is all within that hierarchy. And then there's a few minutes called Bein Hashmashos. It was the evening between the 6 days of the creation and Shabbos. And the Mishnah in Pirkei Avot says that there were 10 things created during those few minutes between the 6 days of creation and Shabbos. One of those things was the mate. One of those things was the staff of Moshe Rabbeinu. And then it says here in the Haggadah, it says, Ha'osos, Hashem did miracles for us, Zehamate. It's referring to that staff of Moshe Rabbeinu. What's the significance? And he says, this is the significance. The 6 days of creation were over. That means the entire hierarchy of nature was created. The entire hierarchy of nature was created. But then it's about to come Shabbos. And it's about to come a whole different way of living life. And Hashem created something that's going to introduce a new way of living life above all those 6 days, which is the staff of Moshe Rabbeinu. And the staff of Moshe Rabbeinu is going to be used now to create Yitzias Mitzrayim, to create this new thing. And he leads us out of Egypt with that staff. And where did this staff, when was it created? It was created the 6 days of creation, but after everything else, on the way to Shabbos. Meaning, it's a whole different way of running the world. It's running the world above nature. It's running the world without the limitations of nature that we see. And when you and that's happened to the Jewish people right now when Mitzrayim was created. But what's interesting is if you think about it, so they shechted the Korban Pesach. Then what happened? Hashem said, don't leave your house even for a minute. Did you hear of anybody ever destroying their enemy without leaving their house? If you're telling me tomorrow morning you're going to leave, tomorrow morning you're out of here, you're out of this country, and there's going to be a rebellion, so what would we say? Go get your weapons, and let's make an uprising, and now it's our time to leave. And what does Hashem say? You're going to leave tomorrow morning. Your enemies are going to wake up tomorrow morning. The enemies are going to be dead. You're going to be able to see them all destroyed. So you say, okay, well, give me the weapons. Tell me where everything is. Hashem says, no. Stay in your house. Just leave tomorrow morning. I never thought about it, but that's what he says. He says, it's coming to tell us, this is different than how other people have to defeat their enemies. This is different. It's a different system. You wake up in the morning, you open your door, the coast is clear, and you could walk out. It's an unbelievable thought. I never thought about it. Right? So he says, that's the significance of Hikesi Kol Bechor Be'eretz Mitzrayim. Hashem says, I'm going to do it myself. But you have to be with me. You have to be with me. You're going to try to do it on your own like everybody else. It's not going to work. You leave your house and you try to fight. No. Don't take things into your own hand right now. You have to be with me. If you're going to be with me, then you follow me. Now, that's obviously miracles and Mitzias Mitzrayim. But the point is the same. The point is that Hashem's teaching us, this is our nation. This is the way the nation's born. The nation's born when we see that when we put ourselves out there into the reshut, into the jurisdiction of Kadosh Baruch Hu leads. Kadosh Baruch Hu takes care. And that's the birth of this, of the Jewish people, but it was teaching us this concept that Lo'olam Vo'ed, for the rest of eternity, Hashem is going to lead us in a way which is different than the way He leads everybody else. What other paragraph shows us this? So he says that's the concept of Bechor, of killing the Bechor. The Bechor is the power of the country, etc. And this, in fact, this according to the Ramban, is the whole concept of Am Segula. We're the chosen people. Segula means the treasure. So what's the significance of a treasure versus something else? Treasure is not just about that it's expensive, right? What do you do with a treasure different than what you do with something else of equal value? You could have something which is very expensive, but it's not a treasure. What do you do with the segula, the treasure? So there's different ways you could guard things. Some things you put in the bank, some things you put over here. The treasure you don't put in the, you keep with you. That's what the Ramban says. That's the one item that you're not willing to put anywhere else. You keep it with you. Hashem says, Klal Yisrael is my treasure nation. We're the one, Hashem says, I'm going to watch over you. I'm not giving you over to the stars. I'm not giving you over to nature. I'm not giving you to anything else. It's me. And when it's me, then we can communicate. I can control you. I can help make it happen. So throughout the purpose, and I'll say this is a great point. Throughout when we're talking about different, you know, a lot of the concepts in the Haggadah that we discuss is miracles. We're talking about a lot about miracles. There was the Makot, there was the Yetzirah Mitzrayim, there was the 10 miracles at the Yam Suf, there was the 50, 100, all this stuff. Miracles, miracles. What's the point of talking about miracles? So one way to look at it is the fact that God can make miracles is important. We have to be aware of that because we don't see miracles every day. Right? But according to, I think that there's another point. It's the chidush here is not that God makes miracles. The chidush is that God makes miracles for us. That's the point.
The emotional connection.
It's the connection that He does it for us. We're connected to Him in a way that He's willing. It's a chidush that Hashem can do miracles. He created the world. Well, I need chidush to prove that Hashem can do miracles. No, the chidush is that Hashem cares enough about us to do it for us. Right? That's the point. So what we have to, it's not here to remind Hashem about that, to remind us that Hashem can do miracles. It's to remind us that Hashem cares enough about us to do it for us. That's the main point. Someone had a great mussar once. He said that that there was a it was a guy who was very broken. He was very sad. He was very broken. And he wanted to, he needed something, and he was praying, and it wasn't coming, and it wasn't working. And he goes to his rabbi, and he says, I gave up on prayer. I don't think prayer works. I gave up on the power of prayer. I'm trying, and it's not working. So he says, let me hear you. And he's complaining, and he's telling him all of his problems. And he says, I hear. I have a very close connection with the tzaddik. The name of the tzaddik was the Skolener Rebbe at that time. He was a survivor of the war. He lived to be well over 100 years old. He established a lot of things. He lived in Bar Park. Big, big tzaddik. So he said, I have a connection with the Skolener Rebbe. Do you want me to go to him and give him your name and you come with me and he'll pray for you? So he says, yeah, I would love that. I'd love that. So he says, oh, okay. So you didn't give up hope. You didn't give up on the power of prayer. You gave up on yourself. The rabbi can pray for you. You just don't think you could pray. That's the problem. The problem is not the power, the ability to pray. The problem is you don't think Hashem cares enough about you to listen. To the tzaddik, he'll listen. So it's not just about the idea. It's about how it relates to us. So it's about if Hashem can do miracles, but are we important enough for Him to do it for us? That's the thing that bothers us sometimes, right? And that's the whole idea here. The whole idea is not just the fact that Hashem can make miracles, it's that He can do it for us, and He's chosen to do it for us, and He's promised us, and He took us out of Mitzrayim. He created this nation that's going to be the nation that He's going to take care of personally. And that means there's the ups, there's the downs, but it's always with that Hashgacha Pratis. And the ability to do miracles means I run your life different than I run the life for everybody else.
Rabbi, when and why Chaim. Did he stop?
Chaim.
When and why did he stop doing miracles, open miracles?
So in the Chumash you find open miracles, and the Gemara says there's open miracles in the second base of Mikdash. The Gemara says that Amoraim were able to do Tchias HaMesim. I don't know when it's documented, things like that. I'm not sure. But I will tell you that I sat with a tzaddik yesterday, and I'm not into like Mekubalim, but this person is a Dayan, is a Talmid Chacham, and only later in life he learned certain Chachmas. He spoke in the call yesterday.
Watched
Rav Galai, is this what I'm saying and dancing after this?
Yeah.
So, yeah, Rav Galai. So I went to him. I went to him. I'm not saying this because I believe. I'm telling you, you should believe in miracles. But I'm telling you this to show that when a person's connected, there's something going on over there. So, I this is the second time I did it with him. He asks for the he asks for your name, for your children's name, and he writes it in his handwriting on a paper, and he looks at the name, and he goes one by one of the children and tells you everything you need to know about them. This one has this personality. This one is like as if they're standing in front of them and he knows them. It's weird. I'm telling you, literally, like, you know, but. The point is that when you, even without that, I've felt it many times, when you're in the presence of a tzaddik that's really connected, you feel like whatever's going on in the world doesn't really matter for them. They're way above that. I used to learn b'chavrusa with Rav Nosson Tzvi Finkel. Nosson Tzvi Finkel was the Rosh Yeshiva of the Mir Yeshiva. He suffered from Parkinson's. And the advice he would give, in the world of Teva, he would not be alive. So he was living l'malam in a Teva. He was living above nature. It didn't make sense that he was even alive. So he gave people advice, and he's like, yeah, just keep doing it. Just do this. And they're like, but it doesn't make sense. No, but it's going to work. Because you live in a different reality. But really, that's the reality that Hashem wants from us, to a certain degree. So I want to say this idea. So how do we relate to this? We're not that tzaddik, and unless we live in the world, and there's things going on day in, day out. Mm-hmm. So the most simple level that we can deal with this is like this. The Gemara says that, famous pasuk, Hayam ra'a vayanos. The sea saw and fled. The pasuk says that describing the splitting of the Red Sea, that miracle, the splitting of the Yam Suf. What happened? Hayam ra'a, the ocean saw vayanos and ran away. What did the ocean see? Aronoshel Yosef. Aronoshel Yosef. Why? Because it says by Yosef vayanos vayetze achutza. It says it saw the coffin of Yosef HaTzadik. What's the connection? Because Yosef also ran away from a temptation that he had. And since Yosef ran away, so the ocean also runs away. Just like Yosef ran away, so too the ocean ran away from the Jews and opened up. What's the Chazal saying? What's the connection? So I heard from a Rebbe of mine, Rabbi Lopiansky. He said, unbelievable pshat. He said that the test of Yosef, the test that Yosef had, the challenge that Yosef had, was a challenge that really, in the world of nature, in Teva, would be impossible to overcome. And we all have those types of, when there's something that nobody knows about, I'm going to talk about it tomorrow actually, about in this conference about business. A lot of times you have a similar challenge. You're the only one that knows. You're sitting in your office, you're the only one that's going to answer that question or fill out that form or do it in a certain way. You're the only one that knows. There's a temptation that is impossible to in the world of Teva to really overcome. So what did Yosef do? He found a spot within himself, which was higher than nature. He found an ability from himself. He dug within himself the ability to find a koach, a power to rise above the challenge, which is higher than nature. It's not natural. Natural, yeah, you do, you don't do. I'm going to fight. I'm going to be better than that. I'm going to do what I know is right, even though it's way, way, way beyond what I think I can do. Oh, Hashem says, you did not limit yourself by nature. The nature is not going to limit you. And then the ocean is not going to drown you. You can walk right through. How are you zocha to this concept? How can Klal Yisrael, how can the Jewish people merit this type of ability to get this? What we're saying is that Hashem treats us differently. Hashem treats us above nature. We have to push ourselves a little bit beyond our nature, which as Jews we're always tested with that constantly. Everybody else in the world, you know, say you go to certain places, you know, there's Everyone's eating and restaurants and stuff, and you pull out your little brown paper bag with your granola bar that that's like cracked in like 17 pieces because it was in your suitcase the last 3 days. Because, Lemaisa, we are faced with challenges all the time, and it's a challenge that if we are expected to live beyond what's naturally expected for most people. Right? Most people that don't have it in their blood like this, it's very hard for them to understand the way we live on a day-to-day life, on a day-to-day thing, right? So we're expected to find the ability within ourselves to dig deeper than nature and live above nature. Hashem does the same for us. When we find it within ourselves to live above nature, and I'm not talking about because you have to walk on the clouds. I'm not talking about that. When I'm saying live above nature, it means you're not limited by what looks like it's quote-unquote normal. Look, it's normal. This is normal. This is what people do today. This is what people watch. This is what people wear. This is what people do, right? We don't limit ourselves with normal. We go way beyond normal. No one thinks the way we live our life is normal, right? So when we are able to live our lives above normal, Hashem treats us more than normal. Hashem says, okay, so then you're living more, you're not limiting yourself, I'm not going to limit you either. And that's the concept of reminding ourselves of the miracles throughout the Haggadah. Reminding ourselves of miracles, and not just reminding ourselves Hashem does miracles, like I said, it's reminding ourselves that Hashem does miracles for us. Because Hashem expects us, or giving us the opportunity to live with Him. And you live with Hashem, He does miracles for you, but you have to also push yourself above the nature. So,
how do we balance that? These are nes, and we're not supposed to be al tismach al nes. So how do you balance that?
Right, so that's what I'm trying to say, is that if exactly what I said, is that you, a person standing up over a challenge, which is naturally most people that don't have Yirat Shamayim, that don't have any reason to stand above that challenge, wouldn't. They wouldn't. There's no reason for them to. Mm-hmm. So where do you find yourself? Where do you find the inner ability to do that? You have a very easy way that you could be dishonest and you could get a few more dollars. You could very easily do this or that. Eat this, connect to that, whatever. So where do you find in yourself that ability to stand up to the challenge? There's a certain inner strength that we have. Right? If we can do that, then we can expect to some degree that Hashem will bend the rules for us too. It's not nice, but when you do what's right, I think that's the balance. The balance is push yourself to do what's right. So for example, it's not al yismach al anes to, close your business down Chol HaMoed. Let's give an example. Chol HaMoed's coming. A lot of people have these questions now. That's not al yismach al anes, but it's a challenge. So am I going to lose my parnasa completely if I close down my business Chol HaMoed? I don't know if I'm touching on a chord over here. I'm just saying an example, right?
No, it's a great example.
I'm not going to get parnasa. Okay, but that's a challenge. If you push yourself, L'mala Minanes, maybe your books are going to look a little different this month also because Hashem will send you a client the day after Yom Tov and it will make up all the money. Is that Nes or is that not Nes? It works. That's what I'm talking. So the balance is not, I'm going to close down my business completely, I'm going to sit in the shul all day and learn, and Hashem will send me mun. I'm not talking about that nace. I'm not talking about that nace. But I'm talking about the nace that when there's a challenge, and I'll do what's right, So should I work that extra hour, a person could, now obviously I'm not posking a psak here. I'm just giving an example. A person would have that challenge and be like, I could close my business Chol HaMoed, but then I also have things that I need to do and I'm going to lose money. If a person pushes themselves, then they're doing what's right. To that degree, they can expect, I don't know if it's going to come in that day. Okay? I'm not saying it's going to come in that day. But overall, if they live that way, then Hashem was not going to expect, then we can expect that Hashem is going to run our business for us also, that it's going to work a little differently. That's the type of thing I'm talking.
It's a fine line.
It's a fine line, but I think the answer is when you're to push oneself to do what's really right. Not more than that. You don't have to do more than that. You don't have to be, you know, we're not Reb Zudel Misalant that, you know, I did my Ashtadlut, I went to work for a day and the rest will come from Shemayim. I'm not talking about that. You know, but there are challenges of how to balance and when I could do what's right, that at least that much.
I do believe that we still have miracles today, but I don't think Hashem is bragging about them. You just have to find
them. You have to find them.
Yeah.
You have to look. If you look, you find.
If you look, you definitely find.
And you also have to believe.
Right. But I think you have to believe when there was open miracles too. Because I think that there were plenty of people that didn't believe that Kriyat Yam Suf was a miracle either.
True.
Right? So I think that you look, you believe, but you believe, you know, you look, you find, but you also have to believe, but it was always like that. I don't think it was necessarily easier in those days. You know? So that's what I would say. I would say that the concept we're talking is mechazek ourselves to understand that we have a special relationship. Hashem runs the world, and we see the way the world. Hashem runs the world for everybody. But if you look deeper, like you're saying, we'll see that for us, for the Jewish people, for the people in Israel, for the people in every person's life, there are moments where they'll say, Hashem's doing something for me special. And that's really that ability that Hashem, you know, the Jewish people, I'm going to run the world differently for you. I do things differently for you, but you also are different than everybody else. You push yourself more. And that's that back and forth. And those are the miracles we're discussing at the Seder. We're not just discussing the miracles for the sake of miracles, that Hashem could do miracles. No, it's the sake that Hashem could do miracles for us because of our relationship. So I think if we think about that and we find ways to give that over to our children, then the children walk away feeling and knowing, I have a special relationship with Hashem. That could be one of our goals in the upcoming Chag Be'ezat Hashem. So we should merit Temiyat Hashem. All the Torah should be a schos and a ilui for the neshama of Yitzchak ben Moshe, and the refuah shleima for all of those that need and refuah, and should be also, you know, in ilui for us. We should also, you know, learn, understand, and grow from it, and Be'ezat Hashem see only good things in the upcoming year. Be'ezat Hashem.
Amen. Amen. Amen.